All right, well, good morning, everyone, again. It's good to see everybody. I definitely want to commend the Hope team for their going yesterday and riding almost 50 kilometers. Maybe not all, but for trying to ride 50 kilometers, that is definitely worthy of commending each and every one of you for that. I think some of them are here. They're all in one piece, which is great. Karen and myself, we thought, hey, let's go down and, this year we're not gonna ride for refuge, but let's go down and try to encourage, those who are riding. So we went down and we got down there around 10 a.m. thinking, okay, you know what, the ride started at 9 a.m. So maybe they'll be coming around 10:30 or so. And so we saw some people riding in and we're like, okay, this person did 15 kilometers, and I was like, okay, our group should be coming a little bit, any time now, only to find out later on that they did 50 kilometers, and I was thinking, when I looked at the list, I thought, maybe they're doing the 10, maybe they're doing the 20, and I was very pleasantly surprised that they did the 50 kilometers. That is from our house to Sandy Hook Community Center and back. And so, part of me was glad that I didn't commit to riding this year, because I didn't want to be the only one doing maybe the 10, and everyone else doing the 50, but I said, you know what, next year I will definitely participate in the Ride for Refuge. So we were cheering the other people who were there, but by all said and done, we need to leave. It was getting a little chilly outside, and Eric was getting restless, but I definitely wanted to commend all of you for riding and raising money for the Ride for Refuge. And I think it's good opportunity for next year. Maybe you would like to ride. We also saw some people were walking. There are many ways to go. I think it'd be good if as many people as possible can go and ride or walk. But even if you don't ride or walk, one thing that's a good thing to do is just go and cheer on the people who are riding. Because after 50 kilometers of riding a bike, I know next year I was doing 50 kilometers riding a bike. I would love to see some people at the finish line. But I probably need some people maybe at the halfway mark saying, you know what, Howard, you can do it. Just keep on going. I know your legs must be sore, but you can keep on going. So it's always good when you have people there to encourage you. So I would encourage you that next year, if you don't ride, hey, come out, encourage. I'm sure brothers and sisters and those who participated would definitely enjoy seeing you there. We're going to continue to talk about faith here this morning. You can never talk too much about faith. And although we've been talking about faith since the beginning of the year, we're going to continue to talk about faith because it is a very important topic. So one thing we're going to do for October and November, we're going to actually look at characters in the Bible who lived their lives filled with faith. And so if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, you know, there's the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you know, people call it the roll call of faith. They call it the heroes of faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, if you look at the different, in verse 4, it talks about Abel. In verse 5, it talks about Enoch. In verse 7, it talks about Noah. Verses 8 to 17, or even actually 18, it talks about Abraham. It talks about Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And it talks about Moses. As if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, in verse 23, it said, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and that they were afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, when the Egyptians tried to do so, and they were drowned. You know, any of us who are familiar with the story of Moses, you know, we're familiar with the parting of the Red Sea and all that came with that. You know, when we think about faith, you know, Moses is someone who is commended for his faith. And so today we're going to take some time to look at the character of Moses. But Moses was not always a very faithful man. But you see how God took Moses for where he was at, and how God changed Moses into a faithful man who lived a faithful life. So as we continue our time together, before we continue to talk about Moses, let's go to our Father in prayer and ask for God's blessing on our study here this morning. Father, we do thank you so much that, God, we have your word, Father, right in front of us, that we can read it any time, to be inspired, to be challenged. Father, so that we can grow deeper in our faith, grow deeper in our love for you, grow deeper in our commitment to you. And Father, I know as we study your word that many of us are at different places in our faith. But Father, you know each and every one of us, and you know exactly what we need here this morning. And Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit will really work through your word, Father, to convict our hearts, to minister to our hearts, so that, Father, we can make decisions to live our lives by faith rather than sight. Father, we are surrounded by so many different things around that clamor for our attention. So many things around us, Father, that really draw on our hearts. But, Father, I do pray that as we look at your servant Moses, and, Father, as we study your word, that, Father, your word can really penetrate into our hearts. And, Father, teach us how we can live with deep faith, so that, Father, we can live lives that are pleasing to you. Father, thank you so much again that we're able to open your word at this time. Father, let your spirit work through us. Let your spirit work in our hearts to transform and change us, Father, more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We ask you bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and kind of give you a little background, that when Moses was born, the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. You know, again, there was a high birth rate of Israelites that frightened the Egyptians, so Pharaoh ordered that the male infants be killed. Moses, as mentioned, was placed in a basket and was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was brought up as an Egyptian and was given royalty, royal family training, where he enjoyed everything that you could physically dream of. So in Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read about the earlier stages of Moses and see how his faith developed, and to see how God used Moses, and also what lessons we can learn as to how God can use each and every one of us when we live our lives by faith. Exodus chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I'm to be remembered from generation to generation. You know, what an amazing event we see that takes place, that God speaks to Moses through a burning bush. And at God's command, Moses, it says that he removed his sandals and, of course, he covered his face. And this was a sign of respect, a sign of reverence he was showing to God. Because God was heard the cries of his people. God was concerned about their suffering. And God wanted to use Moses to be a part of the rescue plan. But you see, Moses said, you know, who am I that I should go? But God says, you know what? I will be with you. You know, we continue reading in chapter 4. You know, when we read about Moses, he was a man who felt so inadequate. We see that his insecurities are just so evident that he felt so inadequate to be a part of God's rescue mission. And we continue reading in chapter 4 as we learn more about the character of Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put out your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please, send someone else. Now you can read on it, you know, but when all is said and done, the Lord's anger burned, the Lord was not very impressed. But all is said and done, when we read through the scriptures, we see that Moses, his heart, his faith was transformed. And so here we see the beginning stages of God calling Moses. But then when we read on, and we see how Moses was involved in freeing God's people from slavery, and involved in seeing a miraculous event take place by the parting of the Red Sea. You know, I do believe, as we think about Moses, you know, Moses had his insecurity. He said, you know what? I've never been eloquent, slow of speech and tongue. And God says, you know what? Who gave man his mouth? And God says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you what to say. But Moses says, you know what? Please send somebody else. You know, God called Moses to a great calling, a great purpose, called him to have a relationship with him. A purpose of being involved in helping free the Israelites from slavery, to speak about what Moses encountered with God. But he felt so inadequate when God was calling him. You know, he allowed his insecurities, faithlessness to get the best of him. But God was not asking Moses to act alone. God was going to be with him, and God was going to guide him. And the message we see here, when we think about Moses, for Moses, it was all about what he can do. It was all about Moses. And God was trying to help Moses understand, it is not about what you say. It is not about who you are. But it's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That wasn't about Abraham, it wasn't about Moses. But it was about God. You know, that can happen so much in our own lives. You know, when we think about how God is calling each and every one of us to something great. You know, one being a relationship with him, that God is calling each and every one of us to have a deep, close relationship with him. God is calling all of us to be his messengers who speak on his behalf and to speak about God. You know, one of the convincing ways to tell others about God is to describe what he has done and how he's worked in our own lives. And to be involved in making a difference. You know, I do believe that there's more to life than just going to work, going to school. It is making a difference wherever we go. It is about making a difference wherever we go and understanding, you know, there are people in this world, there are people in the city who are hurting, just like the Israelites. You know, they may not be in slavery and captivity, but you know what? They could be enslaved to sin. They can have broken families. And you think about even just recently, this past week, the shooting on the campus in Oregon. And so many times we could be detached from the pain of what goes on in people's lives in the world. So there may not be shootings here on campus in Ottawa, but there are people with broken lives who need to know God. There are people at the workplaces, in your communities, who need to know God. And I do believe that God has called us to be his messengers, to be able to teach people about who he is. But you know, we can come up and have our own excuses. We can kind of battle our own insecurities and say, you know what, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to even be a disciple here this morning. You know what? We can do something about it. You can read more to learn enough about being a disciple if that is something that holds us back. But sometimes I've studied the Bible with people and say, you know, I don't think I could become a disciple because, you know what, I think I might sin and mess up. You know what? Welcome to the rest of us. You know, God is not calling us to be perfect because we are, anyone who's a disciple will tell you this morning, we are not perfect, but we're saved sinners. And so in terms of if we want to know more about God, we can read about God, we can study the Bible with someone about God, and we can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Someone might say, I don't know enough to be able to help someone with these different needs in their life. You know, their situation seems so difficult and beyond my own abilities. You know, in many different situations, you know, sometimes all God asks of us is just to show up. Sometimes in certain situations we can focus on, you know what, this person's got marital problems, this person's got financial problems, they got life problems, I'm not a professional this, I'm not a professional that. Sometimes God just wants us to show up and do something. And when we show up, God, I do believe, at times will give us the words to speak and give us whatever it is we need to be able to help whatever person is going through a difficult time. You know, we can blame, you know, my past, my present circumstances. We could spend so much time focusing on what we can't do. We could spend so much time focusing on our weaknesses and less time focusing on God. Because it doesn't matter who we are. But sometimes we can make it all about what we can do or what we can't do. And that's how Moses, that's what Moses focused on. What he could not do in his own abilities and his own insecurities. Instead of focusing on, you know what? We serve the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. That the God we serve will work with us, work for us and work through us to do whatever it is he is calling us to do. God knows us, and God wants to use us. And God promised, just the same way he promised Moses, he would be with him, he would teach him, he would guide him. It's the same way that God will work in our lives to guide us, to be with us, to give us the words to speak, but God wants us to simply show up and to live our lives not by sight, not focusing on ourselves, but focusing on God. Amen? But what's important is that as we focus on God, we view God differently. We begin to view ourselves differently. And we begin to look at our circumstances differently. And then we can approach whatever it is in our life, we can approach it with eyes of faith. You know, back to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we see that Moses, you know, he made some faithful choices in his life. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read it again, in verse 24. It said, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. You know, when we think about Moses, Moses had a faith where he chose what was best. Moses had a faith where he chose what was best. You know, life is full of choices. Some choices in life have very little impact. Other choices in life have a life-changing impact. You know, you think about choices that may not affect us too much, but other choices that they do affect us. You think about, you know, the choice when we wake up in the morning. And maybe it was this morning. You know, alarm clock goes off. We have a choice. We can hit the snooze button or not hit the snooze button. And it can result in being late. We can, in life, we can choose to eat healthy or not eat healthy. But then it results in later health problems. We can choose, if you're a student, you have a choice. You can choose not to study for an exam. You can choose not to hand in a paper. But all said and done, you got to live with the choices of getting an E or an F rather than getting the A. You know, we can choose in the morning to show up late or show up early to work. But all said and done, choices do have consequences. But there are other choices in life that are life-changing. Career, marriage, family. And while some choices may affect us not too much, other choices may affect us quite a bit, it is important that we make very good choices when it comes to our spiritual lives. Choices that will affect our here and now and also our eternal destiny. You know, God gives us freedom of choice. God gives us the freedom to make choices in our life. You think about Adam and Eve. God gave them free will, freedom to choose good or evil. And they ate from the tree, and they felt afterwards the guilt and the shame that came with disobeying God. You know, but God did not make us robots to do whatever He tells us. You know, God could have made us robots to do whatever He wants us to do. But that's not God. God wants us to make choices in our life. One of those choices is to have a relationship with Him or choose not to. But we do know that God wants you to choose to have a relationship with Him. And so Moses was a man who had some tough choices to make in his life. For him, he chose God. He chose a relationship with God. He chose to live his life to please God. A life of doing God's will. He chose to do God's will over indulging. We see in Hebrews, over indulging in the pleasures of sin. You know, sin is all around us. We get tempted by sin all around us. But then again, we have a choice. It says he identified the pleasures as morally corrupt and only temporary enjoyment. And he, rather than taking the road of self-indulgence, he chose to live according to God's standard for his life. He chose self-denial. He chose discomfort. Because he chose to live a life pleasing to God. By faith, he chose to do what was best over what the world had to offer. You know, he also chose, it says, the people of God. You know, he chose what was associated with being with the people of God. He chose the mistreatment being with the people of God. And he also chose the eternal over what was temporary. You know, Moses gave up his place in a palace. Something that we in life might work so hard to attain. Maybe not a palace, but we live for such the material possessions. Moses gave it all up because he chose the eternal over the temporary. He abandoned the social honor and prestige that came from living in an Egyptian household to living his life, going from a palace eventually into a desert. You know, it's so easy to be deceived when the world tries to offer us so many different things. Offer us different things in replace of God. Offer us different things in terms of possessions, other things, to fill what only God can fill in our hearts. But Moses chose God and the things of God in his life. Moses cashed it all in for a relationship with God. And you know, that was the best decision he ever made. What he lost, it could have been taken away from him. Everything he lost before he gave it up, it could have been taken away from him. But what he gained, nobody could take that away from him. That's why he chose what was best. Moses focused his vision not on what was earthly, but what was heavenly. He looked at him that was invisible. His eyes were fixed on the ultimate, not the immediate, but on the eternal rather than the temporal. You know, that's what faith does. Faith helps us to look beyond the world's values, beyond what the world has to offer, and look to what God has to offer us in our own lives. And faith determines the kind of choices that we make. We can make choices based on sight, or we can make choices based on faith. Where faith determines our choices. You know, we must, as disciples or those who want to become disciples, you know, we are filled with, in our lives, there are so many different opportunities and choices that we make in our day-to-day lives. What's important is that we make spiritual choices, that we live our lives with faith, choosing to live by faith rather than making choices based solely on sight. You know, God called Moses to a great purpose. Here's an ordinary, imperfect man with weaknesses just like each and every one of us. But God called him to a great purpose of having a growing relationship with him, serving him, speaking for him. And I do believe God is calling each and one of us to the same. God is not looking for perfect people. And we see that Moses was nowhere near perfect. And Moses even was reluctant because of his own insecurities, his own fears. But God kept on reminding him, you know what? I will be with you. Moses, it's not about you. It's not about your strengths. It's not about your weaknesses. It's not about you, Moses. It is all about me. And that is a message God, I do believe, wants each and every one of us to hear in whatever insecurities or fears that we face in our life. You know, it is not about us. But God wants to turn our attention off of ourselves and put our attention on him so that he can do some amazing things in our lives. But also we must make, and we have tough choices to make in our life. What's important is that we make life-changing choices where we choose God, our relationship with God, doing God's will, choosing the eternal over the temporal, and living our lives by faith. You know, let us this morning, as we look at the life of Moses, let us all make decisions that, you know, we're not going to live by faith, we're not going to give in to our insecurities or our fears, but allow God to work in developing our faith. So just like the same way that God worked powerfully in the life of Moses, is the same way that God can work powerfully in our lives so that we can witness great things in our lives individually as well as in the church as well. God bless. Have a great week.